Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Go here with you, joined alongside a little bit, one cast member short today.
Yeah.
No Alex Gellhart, no WizKid from Wisconsin. But we do have the magical beard of fantasy. We've got Matt Franciscovich. What's up?
Hey, man.
How you doing, pal?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the playoffs this weekend.
Absolutely.
It should be an exciting weekend of games. My Steelers.
Yeah, you're legitimately actual Steelers,
yep.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
a fan of the Steelers,
you
so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Should be very exciting.
Should be a black and blue game, man.
Yeah.
It's going to feel,
yeah.
You know what it's going to feel like? It's going to feel like an old school AFC North game, actually.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Jaguars come in. It's going to be a good defensive battle, I think.
Good defense. Going to be cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Strong running game on both sides. Yeah, it's going to be good. We have Matt Harmon here as well, deep into his Tinder thoughts.
I am not on Tinder. But
no,
I've,
he is not, actually.
No.
We've confirmed that it's not Tinder.
Much better discovery here that we've made, thanks to producer Chris.
Oh,
holy
my God.
Hell.
Oh, my goodness. We'll actually get to what we are alluding to, but it concerns Norv Turner. And it's a shocking storyline. Shocking.
Breaking.
Breaking.
Breaking news.
One that our very own producer Chris has unearthed himself. Producer Chris, how you doing, pal?
I'm good, man. I'm excited about the Norv news. I'm also excited about the games.
Yeah, man.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Are you nervous? I talked to Sheck yesterday. He's very nervous.
Of course.
Sheck is very. I talked to him earlier in the week, too.
How could you not be nervous?
He's like, I don't know, franchise. I'm nervous. What are you feeling? And I'm like, it's a Jaguars, man.
You guys are okay.
I think everyone goes back to week five when the Jaguars kind of smacked the Steelers around and been through five picks. These are different teams. That was October, okay?
Right. Yeah.
It's a long season. Mike Tomlin said both these teams have evolved. Their Steelers are barely even using that tape to prepare for the game.
By the way, if I had to guess, I would guess that when was that? Week five?
Yeah.
So I would guess that in week five, I do not think that Ben Roethlisberger took the Jaguars seriously.
Probably not.
You know what I'm saying?
And there was a lot of drama going on in the locker room at that point.
You know what?
With Martavis Bryant.
You know what? That's a good point.
A lot of egos clashing.
That's a good point.
And hopefully Ben was playing so well in December.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a five-pick Ben on Sunday.
I hope not. I am concerned about the 2 weeks off, but they needed the rest.
They
but
did.
Still.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a veteran team, too.
Yeah.
Boy, we're getting off track. Not really.
We're talking football, man.
Yeah.
It's the offseason.
What the hell? Yeah, exactly. Got a great show in front of us here today. We're going to get to a lot of coaching news, which is why we'll hit the Norv Turner thing. But this is really the Matt Harmon podcast. Why? Because other than news, we're talking coach speak. It's a great article written by our very own Matt Harmon. You can go find it today right now, NFL.com/Matt Harmon. And what he does.
/Harmon.
I'm getting
or garbage, depending.
Right. Slash garbage.
NFL.com/Harmon. Okay. He wrote a piece that highlights and details the most egregious coach speak coming in to 2017 and how it led you astray in fantasy. It's a great piece.
It's a fun little roller coaster ride.
Oh, my goodness. It is good. And I hope there's not a young up-and-coming upstart writer that then chronicles our misfires as well.
Oh no, don't do that.
There are some.
there were some.
But when they come at us on Twitter, we just block them. So
blocked!
Never to be heard of again.
Exactly. All right, let's start your show as we always do with your top fantasy headlines.
News.
All right, let's start with the LA Rams. Is it your LA Rams?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Still my Rams.
Okay. They're out of the playoffs, though.
Yeah, that's okay. So are my Panthers.
Okay.
Well, no. It's our Rams,
okay.
But my Panthers.
Interesting.
I feel as if that's not how you approached it this season.
No.
A lot of my Rams.
Well,
it was a lot of my Rams.
Well, it's a moving target.
Okay.
As we know, it's a moving target. But I've settled on the fact that it's our Rams as a collective.
So now that they're out of the playoffs, you don't want to own that team singularly. It's now a collective.
Yeah.
No, I pivoted to our Rams.
Okay.
During the end of the season and in the playoffs.
Okay.
Go look at my Twitter feed.
Go look at the numbers.
The hashtag is no longer my Rams. It's our Rams.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And it is for better or worse. It is my Panthers.
Okay.
I'm committed.
Yeah. Well, Matt Harmon's Rams, they are expected to franchise tag Sammy Watkins. Just 39 receptions this year, 600-ish yards, but he did collect 8 touchdowns. He's known, obviously, as a terrific red zone target. Proved it this year, 8 touchdowns on just 39 catches, which is very impressive. Now, listen, he's 24 years old. He's going to be 25 when 2018 starts. If everything stays the same, Matt Harmon, I'll ask you this. Can Sammy Watkins grow his production? Do you expect it to stay about the same?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to unpack this situation. And when I tweeted out about Sammy Watkins, actually from Pro Football Focus, apparently he did not have a drop all regular season. Of course, he dropped one pass, and that was in the playoffs. And it was quite an ill-timed one.
All right.
So that's, of course, you know, on everybody's memory.
Yeah.
When I tweeted that out, a lot of people came back with, can't wait to see him move on from the Rams, didn't get enough targets, blah, blah, blah. I disagreed with that because I really think that if you look at just some of the history anecdotally of wide receivers changing teams in free agency, the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Right.
I think it is better for Sammy Watkins to grow and to attempt to, you know, find a bigger role in this Rams offense rather than starting over, going to a new system, trying to find communication with a new quarterback.
Yeah.
I know the temptation is to have him move on, go to a place like San Francisco, and on the surface that does seem alluring, but I prefer him from a fantasy asset, from just a player perspective, to stay where he's already growing and continue, like you said. I think he can get better in this offense, and is with the chemistry coming with him and Jared Goff. Like, let's not forget, he came there in preseason. You know, guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp were working with Goff throughout the offseason.
Yeah.
The talent level is there, certainly. I mean, you look at least on paper from an athletic profile, he's the most athletic wide receiver. He's their best wide receiver they got, at least on paper, right? But we didn't see that translate onto the field. It was Robert Woods, it was Cooper Kupp primarily, and when Sammy Watkins could fit in, he fit in, and obviously with those 8 touchdowns, that was nice, although we talk about it on this podcast all the time. Touchdowns are a fickle beast.
Yeah.
So that makes me – I think that's going to make a lot of folks a little bit worried going into 2018, and he did have a relatively healthy 2017 as well.
I think that's a bigger story that, you know,
and
a lot of people are kind of ignoring.
I know he was healthy in 2017 franchise, but – I don't know. I guess I'm skeptical.
Look, like Harmon said, he came to the team, I think it was like August 11th or something, like mm-hmm. probably 3 weeks before the regular season started.
Uh-huh.
And obviously there was immediate concern. Will they get him integrated? Will he know the offense? Will his route tree be limited?
Oh, my God. How many people were saying that this was a huge downgrade for him, by the way?
Yeah,
because
everyone
thought that Jared Goff was
a
bust.
No one knew that this Rams offense was going to be this high-powered, highest-scoring offense in the league
right.
it was. And I'm kind of encouraged that in the offseason, you'd have to think a guy like Sean McVay will find ways to get Sammy Watkins integrated in a full offseason,
mm-hmm.
more chemistry with Goff. He still had 70 targets. Kupp led the team with 94. Woods had 85. So the targets were spread around, and that's what we saw with McVay's wide receivers in Washington too, between D-Jax, Garcon, Crowder. And there were 2,000-yard receivers in that Washington offense mm-hmm. in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with an offseason – you know, Woods also, I mean, Watkins led the team in percentage of air yards, too.
Yes. Ooh. Well, he's a deep threat.
Right.
And I think that that's the way this is always going to be. Like you mentioned, this is always going to be a spread out attack, and
yep.
there's never going to be a funnel receiver. And I think that's what people – I think people are still holding on to what Sammy Watkins was coming out of college. Like, I don't think he's that player that needs to get 130, 140 targets as a clear number one receiver, but
yeah.
he can be a really good lid lifter in this offense. And it's going to be tough. I mean, we'll be sitting here in 2018.
Yeah.
God willing, we'll all still be sitting here.
God willing, yes.
together and on the planet Earth, you know, that we'll still be here. And we'll be talking about how this is a tough offense to predict week to week and everything like that.
Right,
And
right.
we'll have to decipher the matchups. And it's also fair to point out for Watkins this year, in addition to all the other reasons he was behind the eight ball from, like, a learning the offense perspective, he also had a tough slate of cornerback matchups in the middle of the year. From weeks 11, 12,
True.
13, he faced the Vikings and Xavier Rhodes,
yeah.
the Saints and Marshawn Lattimore,
but that never changes.
The Cardinals
though.
And Patrick Peterson.
Don't you think?
Well, this was just a particularly brutal slate of, like, individual cornerback matchups.
I gotcha.
You know, he also faced, again, he faced the Cardinals earlier in the season, the Jaguars with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. Hopefully next season, if the pass offense faces a softer schedule, again, it could just be more reasons for Sammy Watkins to improve in this offense. Like, I think you're not going to draft him as a starting wide receiver, but he'll be like a DeSean Jackson-type player where he's that boom-bust wide receiver three that can help you win your week, and hopefully you've planned properly to not have him kill your week either.
Good call. All right, the Panthers, for whatever reason, decided to hire Norv Turner.
Here we go.
Who is still
– buckle up.
Norv Turner is still somehow living off his reputation as an offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. This is back in the freaking 90s. Let it go, guys. Norv Turner, I don't understand the hire. Well, I mean, I understand the hiring because he's got a relationship with the head coach, Ron Rivera, who they worked together in San Diego. But I'm baffled by it, man. It just doesn't make any sense. Literally every stop that he's been at for the past 10, 12 years, the offense has not been good.
Before Harmon breaks this down, I just want to point out something I tweeted out about Norv Turner with the last team he was with the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
When he was hired in January 2014, Adrian Peterson was still on the team, and he was quoted as saying, Norv Turner is, quote, the perfect guy for the Vikings offense. By November 6, 2016, the headline is, Norv Turner thought he was holding the Vikings offense back. And that's why he left. So it's like,
and by the way, he was. By the way, he was.
It's like everyone gets so excited about this guy, and then you're like, oh wait, what have we done?
I don't understand.
Get out of here.
I'm baffled by it. I'll give you one other stat. You talk about before and after, right? Because clearly after Norv left, the offense matured, grew, and turned into a very good offense, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur's getting head coaching interviews left and right.
With the help of another guy we'll talk about here in a minute.
Exactly.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur.
So when I go back and I look at his stint with the San Diego Chargers, all right, in 2006, Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach, and then in 2007, Norv Turner took over head coaching duties. Now, remember, he is still considered to be a great offensive mind. When he took over, the team immediately, and keep in mind, there was no drastic personnel changes here, okay? The team immediately scored 15 less touchdowns and 800 fewer yards.
Oh.
When he left in 2012 and Mike McCoy took over in 2013, again, no significant personnel changes. Mike McCoy grew the offense by 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Wow.
That is bad.
That's interesting because they did have a top five scoring offense all of those years that Norv was head coach.
I guess.
Except his last year. Except his final year. They were 20th.
Where it cratered. It just was, I don't know, man. I'm, like I said, I don't understand the hiring, but here we go. But we do have breaking news.
We do have breaking Norv news. So Chris, producer Chris, right, like out of nowhere, drops this bomb on us but right before we started recording. I mean, we've been sitting here BSing for like 10-15 minutes, and Chris points out that that Norv, during his time away from football, co-wrote a country song with none other than Steve Mariucci's son, our own Steve Mariucci.
He's apparently an artist.
He's apparently a country singer. Now, if you want to find, you can just simply Google Norv Turner country music, and it'll pop up.
A lot will pop up.
A lot will pop up.
Yeah.
Oh, or you can just go to, I've tweeted this out, at @MattHarmon_BYB. Don't bother following. It's not a good account. But you can see the tweet there. It's my most recent one. Not only was I able to find the song on YouTube, it's called Things I've Never Done by Stephen Ray Mariucci, that is.
Okay.
I was also able to independently confirm the story by going to our own Steve Mariucci's Twitter feed, where he tweeted this out in December 2017.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, all sales are being donated to Make-A-Wish in December and January.
Nice.
So if you go buy the song on iTunes –
there you go.
You can support Make-A-Wish.
Okay.
So good on Norv and Steve. Now let's now let's tear them down again.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
As you mentioned, though, I think this all comes down to familiarity. It sounds like just from what I'm
By the way, just the backstory is Norv Turner was the head coach of San Diego. Ron Rivera was his defensive coordinator.
He's a linebackers coach and defensive coordinator.
Yes, in San Diego.
And, yeah, so they're familiar with each other. And it sounds like to me that they made the move to fire Mike Shula and Ken Dorsey knowing that they were going to hire Norv. I mean, I said at 9:17 a.m. the morning that Mike Shula was fired that this is all fun and games until Norv is hired within 5 days. It took just over 24 hours to be official. So I think it's all about familiarity. And again, I think we talk about these things all the time on the outside, you know, yeah. In terms of like, how's this going to help the offense? How's this going to help this player? But these people are also trying to, it sounds like I'm going to cape up for the move here, but I'm not necessarily doing that, but it's, you know, these people are also trying to create working environments. They're trying to get like personalities, right? There's a really good piece in the Chicago Sun Times talking about Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, like trying to figure each other out behind the scenes before they officially hired Nagy, because yeah. They didn't know each other. Norv and Rivera know each other. I think Cam Newton is a complicated personality, and I know the temptation is that people want to get an exciting young offensive coordinator in there to work with Cam and McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, and all these weapons, but Cam is a unique human being, and I think that Rivera probably likes the idea of more of an established voice, somebody that has a pedigree that commands respect, like Norv coming in there to stabilize this offense. And quite frankly, like, I got a lot of questions about the move. I hope Norv has evolved a little bit as a coach.
Nope.
Just as a country music writer.
I mean, at least he's evolved as a country music writer. I hope he's evolved as a coach, but the thing about this is that
I love that you're trying to actually find words to describe how it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out.
I think it's better than Shula. I think it's better than Shula. I think they needed a change.
That's a positive.
That's
right?
The thing. I also think that. I think
it's
the,
not though.
No, I disagree. I think they needed to make a change from
it's
Shula.
It's not. I mean, look, I agree with you that it was clearly not working out between Shula and Ron Rivera, but don't go in this direction. Oh my God, there's so many directions you could have gone. Don't go down this road. We're gonna be sitting here 8 months from now, halfway through the season next year, and everyone's gonna be. I told you so. You know, there's no way this works out. There is no way this works out.
If you want one positive,
okay.
For one player in this offense, I do really like the fit of Devin Funchess in the offense.
All right.
Running those bang. Torrey Holt tweeted this out yesterday that they're going to be running a lot of bang eight post routes, a lot of deep digs. I think those are the perfect routes for Funchess. So that is at least one thing I'm excited about.
Greg Olsen, I guess, if you know you're looking for a play, I mean he's already been great, so I don't see very much. You know, it's not like he's going to grow in that offense. It's just he's just going to be there. He's just going to be
it's really
regular
strange.
Greg Olsen.
I mean, I tweeted out a joke that Norv Turner will install 10 plays specifically for Curtis Samuel. Because that was a storyline when Norv came to the Vikings and they had Cordarrelle
Patterson.
That was a headline. Like, Norv creates 10 plays just for Cordarrelle Patterson. And he had, like, that one good game and then fell off the face.
I was mad. Gelhar's not here, so I'm going to talk about him behind his back. I was mad triggered the other day when he said, like, yeah, and then, you know, you're going to trust Norv Turner with all these weapons. Like, he squandered Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm like, oh, give me a break. Squandered Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Nobody. The only person that squandered Patterson was Patterson.
That's right.
I don't even know if he can read 10 plays.
That's right.
For playbook.
The thing about Norv's offense is they've always had a three-down bell cow run. You know,
yeah.
You can go back to the 90s. Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson. Jonathan Stewart's not that guy. You want somebody that can really maximize Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, at least he had some history with Sproles. In San Diego.
He did mix in Sproles.
I don't know. They were always good running offenses there with the Chargers and Norv Turner.
Well, I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson. So
yeah, but even, like, I mean, Michael Turner, like, he was developed into, like, a sleeper there before he moved on to free agency. Sproles, as I said. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's
Cam Newton's the Panthers' three-down running back.
Right.
Really.
That's exactly right.
I hope
that's a storyline we shall get to in Coach Speak coming up as well.
Oh,
speaking of the Vikings offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, is now a head coaching candidate in Arizona. We'll see if that all pans out. Seahawks, a lot of change up in the Pacific Northwest, man. They fired their OC, Daryl Bevel, after, what, seven seasons. They fired their O-line coach, Tom Cable.
God.
DC defensive coordinator Chris Richard is apparently out as well. And there are rumors abound that Steve Sarkisian will reconnect and reunite with Pete Carroll.
Really strange, but yes.
As Steve Sarkisian continues to fail forward somehow.
Steve, you got a game on Saturday, bud.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's literally never stopped him ever before. Ever. Yeah. A big game coming up.
Big
that's
game.
Literally as a matter of fact, the bigger the game, the more rumors there are of Steve Sarkisian leaving his current post. That's
this
how
is
it works.
This is what he feasts on. This is his place.
One season in Atlanta and he's going to leave? Well,
I don't think Atlanta's going to be too upset to see him go.
I mean, didn't he just do one game?
One game with Bama as the
Alabama,
OC. That's what I was going to say. One game doesn't
one game.
Mean one season. That's nothing.
What's with this guy?
He's like that guy, the LinkedIn profile, where he's like, I spent 3 months here,
He's
got like 100 jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
His resume looks beefy until you look at time spent.
Oh, my God. You're like, what? What's going on?
Red flag.
3 months.
Now, that being said, Atlanta did deny those rumors as well. But
the rumored replacement for him in Atlanta is Jed Fish, by the way.
Who's
UCLA's
that?
Offensive coordinator.
Oh.
Or
yeah,
former
he's the,
UCLA offensive coordinator.
I think he still technically is employed by UCLA as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. Jed has
really?
A,
because they fired what's his name?
He's still per the internet.
Interesting. All right.
He's
fair enough.
He's still there.
Well, per the internet, you're Allen Robinson's father, so
that's also
true, yeah.
But Fish has a pro history too. He was a Jaguars coordinator in their illustrious 2013 and 2014 season.
He also spent some time under Brian Billick. I got to interview Jed Fisher in the spring game last year, and one of the things that he did with Josh Rosen and some of those offensive players on UCLA, he would put up tape of like Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and cut-ups, kind of motivate these guys for the pros. So he has that pro pedigree.
No, I actually like Jed Fish.
Yeah, I do too.
I like Jed Fish as a play caller,
yeah,
and I like what he did with UCLA.
Quarterbacks coach for Seahawks under Pete Carroll's first year with the team. He's been back and forth between there and college a lot.
Okay, there you go. Chargers, they signed Robert Arguello.
Roberto Arguello
to a futures deal.
Aguayo. It's not Arguayo. It's not Argyle.
Okay, I don't know.
There's no R in there.
The bottom line is
it's early.
It's early. Bottom line is who cares?
Yeah, I mean whatever.
I don't know. You put it in the rundown.
There was too much pressure on this kid as a second round draft pick, and he missed a bunch of kicks.
I guess what I'm saying though is, if you're a team that in 2017 you literally did not get into the playoffs because of your kicking woes, literally, I mean. They would have made the playoffs if they had a reliable kicker. You're gonna sign to a futures deal, so who cares? But I mean, you're gonna sign one of the most unreliable kickers,
second round pick.
I mean, it's January 10th, and this is not going to be the end all. It's just a guy who has enormous potential, who went in the second round, who didn't miss a kick in college. He's got a great story, by the way. I'm actually really rooting for this kid.
I know.
He's got a really good story.
I'd like to
see
him bounce back.
It's crazy that he never – I mean, how – he's the most accurate place kicker in college football history.
Yeah.
In college football history.
Go to the Bears after the Bucks.
Yeah. He was with the Panthers practice squad for a little bit, too.
Unbelievable.
When they were not sure if he was going to – if Graham Gano was going to play in one game. And I was like, oh, man, they're – actually, and it was a Bucks game, too.
Oh,
so
revenge.
It could have been a revenge game.
Yes,
we really missed out on that one.
We did.
I'm rooting for Aguayo, too, just because I feel bad for him that, like – I feel like he was set up to fail because he was – yeah, they traded up for him in the second round, which is just an atrocious pick, like no matter which way you slice
it.
I think
with the kicker, it's so mental.
Yeah,
you wonder what happened between being the most prolific kicker in college football history to missing key kick after key kick. And I don't know, maybe he got his headspace back.
I just think maybe, I mean, to talk about the headspace here, I mean, he was just a guy. At Florida State. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had
a big story.
I mean, he was just a guy. He wasn't like, it's not like they ever made a big deal of this kid there, you know? So it just, I don't know. Once he became a second round pick, all of a sudden he was a storyline. And I think that kind of messed with his head a little bit. Anyway, speaking of the Chargers, they retained Ken Wisenhunt and Gus Bradley as their respective coordinators on the offensive and defensive side. I think that's
it's huge.
It's huge. It's a surprise. And as you mentioned, Producer Greg, it's a big deal for the Chargers to retain both these guys, because I tell you what, man.
A lot of people are getting after Gus. Lot of people wanted Gus Bradley, and I think just to have that continuity 100%. On both sides of the football, they don't have a lot of free agents. They're bringing largely the same team back. Yep. And then you look at the division. There's a rebranding in Oakland. Mm-hmm. Denver struggled. We don't know what Kansas City's going to look like with Patrick Mahomes potentially, with Alex Smith potentially out the door. So
good point.
You're starting to see some stability. And last year
– in a very unstable division.
Unstable division. And then last year, I think people underestimate just the job that Anthony Lynn did, because they were relocating a year ago.
Yeah.
He was a new coach in a relocation situation with new coordinators. And a testament to him, he kept Ken Whisenhunt on because he said, hey, if I have good coaches on the staff, I'm going to keep good coaches.
That's right.
You get Gus Bradley, and now you're starting to see some continuity. This time of year in January, where there's some turnover with other teams in their front office and their coaching staff, these guys can just get rolling, get to the Senior Bowl in a couple of weeks, and start continuing to build their team.
They suffered a ton of offensive line injuries again. Guys in and out of the lineup. And I thought they did a really good job of being able to mask some of those injuries as well. So I like the job that they did, Anthony Lynn did there with the Chargers. And I'm really excited about what they can get done in 2018 as well. Now, I do think that they probably need to approach the quarterback position a little bit carefully. They probably need to draft one.
Yeah.
But again, it's just going to be a situation where if they bring all the guys back, if they could play the way that they played the last couple months of the season throughout an entire course of a season.
They got Cardell Jones, man.
They do.
Oh, there you go.
But you mentioned the offensive line, James. They allowed 16 sacks or 18 sacks this year, 36 the year before. So you cut that number in half. I think Russell Kung was a big part of that. Plus, you're getting Forrest Lampback, who was their second-round pick.
That's what I'm saying.
A potential starter in 2017 got hurt. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, too. The fact that Philip Rivers took less sacks, I think that's why he looked fresher at the end of the season.
100%.
That's why he was playing at the level that he was playing at the end of the season as well. Mike Pettine, the new Packers defensive coordinator. I wish Alex Gilhar was here. I would love to get his take on it. I think it's a great move.
Oh, wait. He just walked in. Here he is. Here, sit down, Alex.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, hey, guys.
Oh. What's up, Alex?
I think you probably want to stream the Packers defense every week now.
Oh, God. Get out of here.
Sorry. I got to run now and drink some more coffee and beer with my family who's in town.
Thanks for the Packers takes.
We're going to a cheese factory tour.
Oh, a cheese factory.
I hope he doesn't
listen guys.
To this. He's going to be so mad.
Oh, it was good. Good.
A
good
cheese factory tour.
It was good of Alex to stop by, huh?
Yeah, that was real big of him on a day off.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's always good when you can show real dedication to the show.
True. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, well, wish him and the family well this weekend.
He gave a very original take of Stream the Packers.
I mean, it was in his matchups column every week.
Pretty much. It was terrible.
God.
I really hope
he doesn't listen.
God. Joe Philbin is the Packers' new OC. He was the OC there, remember, from 2007 to 2011. So there's familiarity there with he and Mike McCarthy. Our very own Akbar Bajabiamila says Philbin is a very nice man.
Sick.
Yeah.
Thanks for the source.
In-depth analysis there.
Why the hell did you bring that up?
That's what he says about Joe Philbin. I don't know.
He's a very nice man.
He's
all right, cool.
Nice man.
Remember poor Joe Philbin on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
The awkward Chad Johnson release.
Yes.
And like,
it was so awkward
when they traded Vontae Davis.
Unbelievable. Akbar says very. By the way, that's such a non sequitur, but it's the kind of non sequitur analysis that you will occasionally find from various fantasy analysts around the fantasy scope. So, I just thought I'd throw it in.
Look, I'll take it.
At least I can laugh
seems
at myself.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, seems.
Exactly. I mean, from what I've seen on TV and whatnot.
Sure. Akbar says he's a very nice man. So
thanks,
there you
Akbar.
Go.
Nice person.
All right.
Nice of Akbar to stop in. We've had a lot of guests.
Can I make that the title today?
Yes.
Joe Philbin is a very nice man.
Yes.
Per Akbar.
God.
So strange. But yeah, you're right. He has familiarity. It's good. That's nice.
Yeah,
it sounds like the Packers are going to give this coaching staff one last whirl around.
I like Mike Pettine there as the DC. I think
me too.
I think he can look, man, they've got some pieces. They really do. I like that Martinez kid at linebacker. I think Demarius Randall can be salvaged.
Quarterback's a real question mark.
Quarterback's a real question mark there.
They've
right?
got some guys up exactly. front. I mean, Clay yeah. Matthews is on more commercials and he makes plays now, but
yes.
still.
Yes, he's still a guy.
He's still a guy.
He's still a guy that can diagnose okay. plays, I think.
Yeah, they got great. I mean, they, like Mike Daniels is a really good player.
Very good player.
Perry? Kenny Clark.
Yeah,
the,
Kenny Clark.
The player
yeah.
they drafted out of UCLA 100%. A couple yep. years ago. He's really good. I've always liked Mike Pettine, like, as a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
He just
bombed as a Cleveland head coach.
You know what, though? His first year, he wasn't that bad. And I think now that we look back on all the coaches that they burned through,
yeah.
it's like maybe you should have given Mike Pettine another year.
Sure.
You
maybe
yeah.
they could have said the same thing about Bill Belichick.
Brown's going to brown.
so there you go. Oh, I mean, gosh. No, you know what, though, Chris, to your point, though, remember that Mike Pettine got saddled with Johnny Manziel in that
yeah.
whole
Ooh.
That whole drama.
I mean, he was 7-9 his first year.
And, oh, my, I just remembered, they completely.
Six more wins than Hugh Jackson.
And they completely whiffed on their first pick in the first round. Who was that
Gilbert.
Quarterback? Gilbert.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a flameout.
Gilbert and Manziel, I think, in the
Holy
first round.
Gilbert.
Yeah,
Justin
Holy
Gilbert.
Holy
wow.
hell. Justin Gilbert.
He was a Steeler for a minute.
He was.
Really?
Yeah, he was for a
Sad.
Second. Yeah. But, I mean, they
Don't
spent.
Don't even know.
They spent, yes. they spent the top 10 pick on him, man.
That's It's pretty bad when, like, you made two first-round picks,
and
Johnny Manziel arguably wasn't the worst one. Like, that there's actually a legitimate argument.
That's amazing. That is amazing. But
yeah,
yes.
he was really screwed. I forgot they went 7-9 that year.
Yeah, you just kind of figured it out. They were just always terrible.
Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator that year, too.
That's right. That was the Hoyer.
And then he wanted out.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Hey, let's get to coach speak, shall we?
Let's do it.
Again, NFL.com/Harmon if you'd like to find the piece. It's really interesting, man. It's a very fun read. But let's break down some of the sections you have here. But Pete Carroll, his optimism towards running backs, his own particular running backs really put fantasy owners in an awkward place.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's boundless, misplaced backfield optimism was the section of this one. Pete Carroll back in May said that he expected his ground game to come roaring right back.
Wow.
That did not happen. Russell Wilson ended up leading the team in rushing.
Don't.
Chris Carson, who was placed on IR in September, did lead the running back group in rushing with 208 yards until he was passed in week 17 by Mike Davis, who joined the team on November 14th.
Amazing. Unreal, dude.
Unbelievable. By the way, the starting – remember, all the way back in the beginning of the year, the starting tandem was expected to be Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy had 179
hey, don't
total.
Forget about the myth of C.J. Prosise.
Yeah.
Well, that's true
he
as
was
well.
Going to mix in.
But he got
he
injured.
He played like 10
well,
snaps
yeah.
or something
yes.
all season.
Well, my point is
as
like
he is wants to.
The two players who I mentioned finished the team with the team lead in rushing.
Yeah.
Neither of them were mentioned in this article because we barely knew they existed yet.
Oh, there was a guy that we had no – J.D. McKissick.
Only running back to score a touchdown for the Seahawks.
J.D. McKissick actually led the running backs in total yards.
Rushing touchdown.
He's the only running back to score a rushing touchdown, correct.
Did Chris Carson had a receiving one,
yes,
I believe.
Correct.
Yes,
yeah.
you are right. J.D. McKissick led the running back core with 453 total yards. Total.
Jeez.
Right.
Led all Seattle running backs in total yards with 453. I don't know how many games he played, but he certainly did not play that many games. And he didn't play that many snaps. I know that for sure.
And he's a converted wideout.
It's crazy, man. But again, the starting the article that you're referencing, Harmon, the starting tandem was expected to be Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy, 179 on the ground. Thomas Rawls, 157 on the ground.
Yeah.
Less than 400 yards combined.
Unbelievable.
That's did not clear wow. 40 yards rushing in any game this year. That was Thomas Rawls. Pete Carroll even doubled Woo. Down and saying later in the offseason that Thomas Rawls was right back to form of years past.
He was not.
Every weeks or every other week, it was like, they're going to give Thomas Rawls another chance. This is Thomas
yes,
Rawls' week.
It is. You're right.
And he just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at the next-gen stats, like, they were always getting hit in the backfield. The offensive
yes.
line
the
was
offensive
blocking.
The offensive line was an absolute mess.
Guys like Chris Carson and Mike Davis had an okay time.
Yeah, they were trying to make it work anyways.
Yeah.
Guys like Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls just look completely smothered.
Yeah.
But, yes, again, I'll be interested to see what happens in the backfield in 2018.
Offensive line coach Tom Cable was relieved of his duties.
He was indeed.
One to watch. Yeah.
They selected 18 this year. You know how many good running backs are in the first round?
They need one.
Yeah.
You could probably get one in the second. I guess, too.
I would rather
the offensive line in the first round.
I would almost rather they spend literally all 7 picks on offensive line.
Yeah.
Literally.
They should spend some on the line. They need to rebuild their defense.
Their defense is completely shattered.
Has a lot of needs. I think just the fact that they got pretty decent production out of guys like Davis and Carson just means they probably ignore their running back position early.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So and this is why I'm saying that they need to address the offensive line, because here's the deal. If Russell Wilson gets hurt, and keep in mind, okay, so Russell Wilson had a great 2017. Mm-hmm. In 2016, he wasn't nearly as dynamic. Why is that? You got to remember, in 2016, he was dealing with lower body injuries pretty much all year because he was getting hit so often.
Banged up.
If that happens again in 2018, I think he just, by the skin of his teeth, was able to avoid major hits. In 2017, you can't rely on that going into next season. They have to address offensive line. Why? And I get that they're going to have to talk about the defense as well, draft at that position. But if you lose Russell Wilson for any stretch of games next year, forget it.
Just an interesting note on the Seahawks offense too. Tom Gower, I don't know if he still writes for Football Outsiders or what, but he used to. Well, I guess he still contributes there. Football Outsiders. He retweeted out that the Seahawks ranked 32nd in offensive DVOA in the first quarter this year and first in offensive DVOA in the fourth quarter this year. So not only are they slow starting in the season now, they're slow starting in the middle of games,
yeah, exactly.
And then heating up in the fourth quarter.
It's craziness.
Seattle is going to be just such a fascinating team to watch this offseason, and this running back group will certainly be a part of it.
Yeah. Julio Jones, his red zone usage, the coach speak surrounding his red zone. I guess Steve Sarkisian was saying that he was going to get Julio Jones a ton of looks in the red zone. Matt Harmon did not happen.
Interesting enough, he did. Julio Jones, that is, did have 19 red zone targets, which was tied for 7th most in the NFL this year. But he still only scored a career low 3 touchdowns. They weren't creative red zone looks, if you ask me. Going back and watching some of those plays, they were a lot of like low percentage fade routes, of course. And it just really wasn't. It was not a good situation at all.
Why don't they ever have him running from the slot?
I remember
in the red zone.
I don't understand. I remember a play when they faced Seattle in the playoffs last year where Kyle Shanahan had him do exactly that. Had him get away from Richard Sherman, managed to get him isolated in the slot, and he caught a touchdown on that route or a big third down conversion. I can't remember, but those are the type of plays that they should.
I don't get it, because when your field of play is that truncated vertically, you got to find space. How do you find space? You can only find space horizontally, right? So if you line them out wide, there's not really that many ways he can go. You know what I mean? So
right.
I don't get why they don't run him in the slot more often, especially in goal to go situations. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Atlanta was 27th in red zone conversion rate this year.
Yikes. And they've got a good chance to get back to the NFC Championship game,
yeah.
Which is crazy to say. Cam Newton will certainly run less. That's what the coaching staff said.
They meant it this time.
They meant it this time.
They did not mean it this time. Cam Newton finished with a career-high 139 rush attempts,
a career-high
754 rushing yards in 2017.
A career high!
Doubled up his rushing yards from 2016 to 2017.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. This one actually technically benefited fantasy owners. But because obviously his rushing really boosted him up to another top 10 finish.
You know who it didn't help? It didn't help all the Christian McCaffrey truthers in the preseason. Cam Newton's going to run less. They're going to give the ball to their dynamic playmaker and Christian McCaffrey. They're going to do it.
McCaffrey still had like 100-something targets.
They pounded him in the passing game. But, yes, I don't know, man. This was a storyline I bought 0%.
Yeah.
In the preseason. 0%.
How do you take away the number one thing that makes Cam Newton special?
That's
like,
what I was saying.
The thing is, though, like, and
he said, he referenced that, too, in a quote, something
but
about.
He said, you can't, do you expect a lion not to roar?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was,
a panther.
Here's the thing. A coaching staff can design out or play out a running back or a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a quarterback, the ball's in your hand. You could make whatever play call you want at the line. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of it's instinctual with a guy like Newton. You're under pressure. You're like, 100%. I'm huge and I am fast. I'm going
to
run.
I'd be interested to see how many design plays, run plays they had for Cam this year.
Especially towards the end of the season, like when all of their wide receivers were hurt, the running game, I mean, really never got going.
No.
There were several plays where he would just take off on design runs up the middle of the line. And, I mean, they'd gain 7 yards. It's hard to stop. The Panthers are and I wrote in this article that we should obviously approach the keyboard with caution when we're ready to write the 576th story in Cam Newton's career about how his team wants to limit the one attribute that does make him special, as franchise said. But it's a real double-edged sword because, look, you've got to be careful.
Can't take those hits, man.
Can't take those hits. I mean, we see him all the time take punishment.
Coming off shoulder surgery this offseason.
Exactly.
Right. I think they really intended for him to run less. But
I agree.
The offense cratered around him and, you know, coming back to North Turner.
Maybe
he'll just take most of his punishments on those deep drops that Norv loves to run behind an offense that can't pass protect. So,
Jesus.
I don't know. I think the Panthers
– what a horrible fit this is.
I think the Panthers are a fascinating team to watch this offseason because I really hope they pursue a veteran free agent at wide receiver. But they do return Devin Funchess, who I think had like a breakout campaign
last
year.
He did. Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Curtis Samuel started to look good right before he got hurt. I really like Damir Bird as a lid lifter. If they can get a veteran free agent in there to kind of complete that core, it's really nice with Greg Olsen returning and Christian McCaffrey. So maybe next year is the year that Cam runs less, but let's just wait to see it before we write about it.
This is another team that needs to address offensive line a little bit.
Yes.
And on the defense as well. They've got an aging defense. That's a defense that is
they were horrible covering on the back end towards
the
end.
And I think they're on a razor's edge, man. That's a team that could defensively could fall off a cliff in 2018. Could. Not saying they will, but they could, just given the age and the lack of depth that they have on the defensive side. All right, how about Mike McCarthy on Ty Montgomery?
Oh, boy.
This was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because this one hurt.
My favorite headline.
No, because this one absolutely hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Fantasy Matchers, big time.
I talked about this was one that I bought into, too, hard. Talked about it in multiple sections. Local Green Bay man believes in position change fairy tales.
Love it. Love it.
So Mike McCarthy gave a full statement to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero in late July. I parsed out some of that to see what actually happened. Right off the start, he plays 16 games plus the playoffs. All right. Pause. Stop mid-sentence.
All right.
Here, Mike McCarthy, the converted receiver, played just 8 games this year and was in and out of the lineup constantly. He was injured 5 touches into his 4th game this year.
He basically played 3 games.
Right.
Yeah.
Continuing that sentence. We'll be saying a lot of great things about him in January. Well, it's January now, and the only thing we're really saying about Ty Montgomery is how high we should take his former backups, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, in our 2018 fantasy drafts, and theorizing about the workload split between the duo. You know, as you noted on a couple of podcasts ago, you forgot Ty Montgomery even existed.
I completely forgot he existed.
So while that technically
– jeez.
While you did say things – they were hardly great things.
Yes, I agree.
He can obviously run it. How obvious
I don't know, because he averaged, what, like 3.5 yards a carry?
Ty Montgomery averaged 3.1 yards 3.1. Per carry in the first 3 weeks of the regular season when he was the featured back and checked in at a sterling 107th in Pro Football Focus's elusiveness rating among all running backs this year.
Oh, no.
He finished in the same range as rushing luminaries Robert Turbin and Fozzie Whitaker.
Yes.
Hey, they're good.
Hey.
That guy is a stud now. That guy finished 3rd on his team in rushing, just barely edging out quarterback Brett Hundley by a whopping 3 rushing yards.
Oh, no.
Mike, it definitely appears you were trying to talk yourself into believing this one. In fairness, you got a lot of us to buy in.
Oh, my God.
Myself included. Perhaps
people.
The words of George Costanza do ring true in this case. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Man.
Great, great, great stuff.
Man.
You know what? My favorite thing about this whole piece, though, is that you wrote an entire section on just Hugh Jackson. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He has so many egregious, just wrong.
It's my favorite.
Wrong coach speak. Unbelievable.
Just a slight, like, funny note, too. Like, when we post these fantasy pieces, like, you know, we code them ourselves, those of us in the stronghold, and not famous folk like James Coe here.
Yeah, I don't back read anything.
No. It's all right.
I just write.
Anyways.
And then I watch you guys butcher my work.
You write
please.
Good. That's rude.
That stuff's
I take
a mess.
Back the compliment you just gave you.
Anyways.
Yes, go ahead.
But so some, like, you get to post, like, you know, you get to include your own videos when we do these. And the one that I grabbed for Hugh Jackson here is perfect because it's just a still of his face just looking like that emotionless emoji face. So it's perfect for the BS things that Hugh Jackson said.
And there's so many.
So Hugh Jackson really, he kind of famously made a push for the NFL's chief disinformation artist position when he puffingly proclaimed, "It felt like the earth moved beneath my feet when watching Robert Griffin III go
so
through
bad.
A private workout."
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Before Jimmy Haslam directed his staff, "Go get him," at Jackson's behest. He hasn't let up since then. And oh, by the way,
yeah,
this is where, you know, like, complete crap when it's like Hugh's, I just, you know, they didn't get Hugh players or whatever. Hugh directed them to go get RG3, who obviously was a bust. But that's 2016. Let's come back to the present.
Okay, okay. Maybe he's improved.
Not quite.
Maybe he's improved, you know?
Remember,
he's grown.
Remember Cody Kessler?
Oh, God.
Do you remember him?
Yes,
of course.
I remember.
Again, we're coming
back. I
actually
covered him in high school.
Yes. Wow, that's fun. We're kind of back to 2016 here, but when Cody Kessler was drafted by the Browns, Hugh Jackson said, "You have to trust me on this one." Fast forward to 2017, Cody Kessler finished third on the team in pass attempts with 23 and was always a distant third behind DeShone Kizer and current Broncos quarterback Brock Osweiler in the preseason quarterback battle. So do we really have to believe in Hugh?
By the way, remember this too. Cody Kessler was not expected to get drafted. He was not expected to get
drafted. It's a third-round pick.
Drafted. They burned a third-round pick on Cody Kessler.
Metrics, man.
Yep.
No, he was not a metrics guy.
And none of it made sense.
None of it. He was not a good athlete. He wasn't tall. He didn't have a big arm. There was literally no metrics to speak of at all.
There were some fantasy folks after his first year trying to cape up for Cody Kessler based on, like, his yard per attempt, and it's like, just, oh, my God, stop. Anyways, speaking of quarterbacks.
Yes.
Hugh Jackson named – I forgot about a lot of this and was like – like, when I wrote this whole Hugh section, I was just like, my eyes were rolling out of the back of my head. just so despicable, the fibbing. Jackson named rookie quarterback DeShone Kizer his starter in week one, and he said when he did so, "This is not just for the moment. We're going to get with DeShone and ride with him
oh my
through
God.
It all."
This was the worst.
Jackson benched him by week six.
Unbelievable.
The rest of the regular season, there were several more instances of Kizer being yanked in and out of games, and the Browns would later engage in a failed trade attempt for Hugh Jackson's love child, A.J. McCarron, of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, my God. They were going to give up a second and a third? Was it a second and a third?
I don't.
At least a second-round pick.
For McCarron.
To go get A.J. McCarron. What is Hugh Jackson's love affair with bad quarterbacks? He loves them.
There's that gif that I think Evan Silva, like, he tweeted out and, like, will retweet it every now and again. Actually, no, he didn't retweet it, but he did – or he did not tweet it out, but he quote-tweeted it and just laid out Jackson's record. But it's a gif of just Hugh Jackson looking like he's running through a meadow to A.J. McCarron and hugs him at the beginning of this Bengals game. And I think the caption is, "Find someone who loves you like Hugh loves A.J. McCarron." It's unbelievable.
Wasn't the owner right next to him, too?
I don't know. I can't remember that. But so back to Hugh Jackson's lies. Jackson, this is the big one that screwed, I think, a lot of people.
Okay.
Jackson insisted to us back in June that the Browns had to, quote, "run the ball more. I'll be the first to tell you that."
Oh, God.
He even went so far as to say, "I beat myself up about that," in regards to how quickly the Browns got away from the run in 2016. He says he's a coach that loves to run the ball. He says he is that guy. Well, he's going to have to forgive himself again because Cleveland ranked 28th in run play percentage this year. Lead back Isaiah Crowell, the centerpiece of Jackson's promises to run the ball more, finished with just 8 more carries in 2017 than the 198 he totaled in the season prior. Isaiah Crowell's a free agent this year. He probably is not going to be back with the team. But not to be outdone, he also told us a bed of lies about his fellow running back, Duke Johnson.
Oh boy,
this one was this. I think this one might have been the worst for me because it was just, you know, I'm gonna pull up the piece here because I didn't include all the quotes, but I want to read some of them. He just yaks about Duke Johnson. He says, "No, Duke Johnson stays with me. He's with me all the time. Wherever he goes, I make all our rounds. So he's constantly with him. And then Jackson says about Duke Johnson, he's just doing everything, honestly. He can catch out of the backfield. He runs the ball. We line him up in different places where we can get an advantage with him. He's a weapon for us. We're just trying to use him as much as we can, and we do." Well, try as they might, it didn't happen because Johnson averaged just 9.7 touches per game as the Browns marched to 0-16. Despite the exciting back clearly offering some dynamism with the ball in his hands, they never quite committed to him. Thanks for the exaggerations and good times, Hugh Jackson. We will somehow see you again for the fibbing season when 2018 training camps open.
So frustrating.
All right, if you want to read more about the coach speak and how it led us astray in 2017 from a fantasy perspective, go find it at NFL.com/Harmon. All right,
let's go. Tomorrow I'll be posting the narratives that led you astray.
The narratives?
In 2017.
I'm sure these will be strongly tied together, no?
You would think that there'd be some overlap, but
yes,
there's enough.
Oh,
to
there's
fill
enough.
A whole another piece. There are some that I was going to do for this one, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm hitting the 2,000 word mark. I'll save them for the narrative.
There you go. I love it. Okay, here we go. Let's close out your show with a round of daily daps. Daps, 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 daps. All right. I was going to go to Alex Gilhart. He's first.
He's at the cheese factory.
Oh, do you want me to call him back?
Yeah. Alex, what do you got today?
Whoa. Try some of this locally sourced cheese.
What, you just like mix your our bit and
I know, I don't know what I'm doing. This okay. This is bad audio. Let's move
Daily
on.
Daps a Swiss.
Daily Daps Swiss. No, American.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
My bad, Gilhar.
Okay.
I really hope he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Would the best beer for him be a cheese coffee beer? Is that what?
Yeah.
That would just hit all the
stout cheese coffee stout.
A cheese coffee stout
with beer. Yeah.
Right, got it.
That hits all three.
Okay,
checks
good.
All the boxes.
Checks all the boxes, baby.
With a Packers logo on the pint glass.
Yeah, obviously. Matt Franchise, what do you got for Daily Daps?
I'm gonna Daily Daps one of these music albums
okay.
here I've been listening
okay.
to. the artist is Odessa, Odesza.
Oh, I've dapped them before, or no, I Daily Dapped. Yeah, I daily dapped their song with, what's his name? Leon Bridges. And I had somebody come at me for the pronunciation, so they might come at you too, by the way.
Well, how do you say
how
it?
How do you say it?
I'm pretty sure it's Odessa.
Odessa?
I don't know. I looked it up specifically for the last podcast, and I forgot.
I don't know a ton about them, but I know this album that came out in 2017 called A Moment Apart is Grammy nominated.
Yes. Wow.
I think it's two dudes.
Wow.
It's an American DJ duo.
Okay.
And the album just like put it on and it just sets a cool vibe. And one of my favorite songs is called Late Night. And one of my Twitter followers tipped me off to the fact, his name is Chris Turner, that there's two local natives samples in the song that kind of drive the song. Local Natives is another band I'm really into.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that just listening to the song, and he tipped me off and I went back and listened to both songs. I was like, oh man, that's awesome.
Cool.
So check it out, Odessa.
Odessa?
Odessa? O-D-E-S-Z-A, okay. A Moment Apart. Check out the album.
Atta baby. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
So I'm going to Daily Dap a band too. Mount Joy, I've been listening to. They have a few songs on Spotify. They're kind of like, have you heard of them, Franchise?
I think I've heard of them, but I couldn't tell you what they sound like.
Yeah, they kind of have like almost more of like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a bit of more of a like classic classic rock type of sound. Maybe more like Americana is the right genre. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway,
sounds like right up your alley.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So they've got a couple of songs on Spotify. Silver Lining and Sheep are probably my favorite one. I think Sheep is my favorite. That's got like a great. It's like John Mayer, but you don't have to hate it because it's John Mayer.
Sheep, right on. Right,
you don't have to hate
right
it
on brand. Jesus. I love John Mayer. Get out of here.
Wow. I don't like John. Wow. I do not like John Mayer, and there's nothing worse. There is nothing worse than hearing a John Mayer song and being like, oh, man, that sounds pretty good. And then you realize it's John Mayer, and you're like, ah, man, now I have to hate it.
What? I mean, he's got a pretty easily discernible sound. Oh,
I know, but it's like it coming with a cool guitar lick, and you're like, all right, that's
okay,
cool.
Yeah,
man.
Okay. Oh, it's John Mayer.
Great.
The two
Mayer
songs you mentioned here, they're two most played songs, so sounds like you're the sheep.
I am the sheep.
Okay.
Oh, great. See what I did there?
Okay. Producer Chris, what do you got?
You know what? I'm going to dab. The 2018 London Games just announced the Chargers going to London.
Oh, really?
Take on the Tennessee Titans late October, either week 7 or week 8 at Wembley Stadium.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
They better not. The Chargers better not get screwed on their next game. Because, I mean, they got to travel from the West Coast all the way to London.
You hope that's a bye week.
You know what I'm saying?
Week. Yeah,
you know
what I mean? For sure.
Because if
they
got to travel.
Or you're playing on the East Coast the following week
and you
just kind of set up shop at.
Even
teams
then,
have done that before.
Yeah, I know, but even then, that's tough.
That's tough. So, daps to the London Games. And then also, you know, Top Chef's on today.
Oh, all right, buddy.
They were in the woods.
Yeah.
They were in the woods last week.
Right.
See
they
that?
Were. It was
camping.
Hey. That was so sick.
How about the girl who made the cake?
Hey. Cake in a hole in the ground,
cake
baby.
In a hole in the ground.
I was like, she's definitely losing.
Oh,
for this.
I thought she was.
And
done.
They were like, this is the best dessert we've ever had on
the
show. And
the
I was like, she made it in a hole in the ground.
The producers are
done.
Very good at that, at making you think something
yes.
that's
oh,
not
yeah.
going to happen.
Are you always like trying to analyze how they
of
edit
course.
Certain
the first 5 minutes?
Things, like,
if they feature somebody, the first 5 minutes,
they're
like, oh, that guy's
gone. They're
gone. He's out. He's out. I don't know why I love the show so much, but it's on again tonight.
It's so good, man.
It's a great show.
It's great.
It's a great show. It's going to be an all musical Daily Daps here. I will daily dab. What do you got going on over here, Matt Harmon?
I'm trying to listen to some pronunciations of
Odiza.
Odiza.
I thought he was listening to Norv's country song.
No, hell yeah, but I'm firing that up when I get back to my desk.
Oh, my God.
Me and Norv for the rest of the day.
Speaking of football players and music, Cole Beasley, he dropped a new track. It's a hip-hop track. It's called 80 Stings. You can find it on YouTube as well. Here's the thing.
Is it good?
The thing is, when somebody alerted me to the fact, and it's a fellow who goes by Texas Cheesehead. I forgot his handle, but he alerted me to the fact that Cole Beasley has a new hip-hop track that he released.
Hip-hop.
That funky sounds of hip-hop. He released a new track. He released a track, and I'm going into it total skepticism.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh,
same.
God, this is going to be awful. Like, I've heard Le'Veon Bell's tracks, and look, I love him as a player, but stick to football, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and he's got – and Lev's got an entire – like, he's has a long – he has a lot of music out there.
Yeah, he does.
He's got a lot of music.
You know who else has his own album? Melvin Ingram has his own album.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Ingram. He does.
Keenan Allen can also sing very well. He can play the piano as well.
Yep.
What?
Yeah,
that's
he's
awesome.
He's actually very good at playing the
and
piano.
And Joe Barksdale, really good on the guitar.
I've heard
didn't
that as well.
That.
Yeah. Anyways, we're getting off track. Cole Beasley, hip-hop artist.
Hip-hop.
And he's got this single, 80 Stings. Again, I go into it super skeptical. Bro, he's got flow. This Flames. Guy can spit. I was shocked. I was shocked. He's the best hip-hop or he's the best rapper, athlete rapper, that I have come across since Damian Lillard. Because Dame Lillard can legitimately rap.
Yeah, he can.
And Cole Beasley's right there. He's got bars.
What?
Well, I was surprised. I was very – so if you're a hip-hop fan, go find Cole Beasley's track 80 Stings. So there you go. That's the show. for the WizKid, we apologize. Wow.
That's what happens when you're not here.
Yeah,
that's
true. I don't apologize.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I imagine that if I was ever to miss a show, I
would get flamed.
I think like 30 minutes of it would be you
that's
guys making fun of me.
That's a very good point. Very good point, Matt Harmon. We got Matt Franchise and we got producer Chris. I'm James Go. We'll see you later.
See you later.
This is it.
This is it. We've got it. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Thank God.
I love North.
And then he was like, wait, an NFL team needs my help. Panthers, I'm coming. I'm coming out of the studio for you, Panthers.
Okay, hang on. I got to get this tweet right.
No, no, no. Come on. Let's go. Here we go.
No, hang on.
The
tweet's important.
The tweet can wait.
I think you can periscope it.
You can multitask.
I think you can multitask, which is what you will normally do anyways. All right, here we go. In three.
Like an unfair attack.
Three, two, and one.